CliffCentral.com.
There's some important stuff we've got to cover. And, you know, we get Dr. Hanan on here, and he is our, he's our living shrink. I mean, he's not living in, but we get to have a bit of his time every week. And today, we're going to also welcome back someone who is an old friend of CliffCentral.com and someone who's been a part of our family from the very beginning. But let me first welcome Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Awesome.
Hey,
another busy week, and of course, you know, more and more problems for people, real problems. We've got to talk about...
Doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't go away. And we call this It's Going to Be Okay, because we don't want to wake you up on a Monday and not have answers and solutions to people's problems. But today I'd like to introduce you, and many people already know him well. He's an extraordinarily talented musician. He's also the lead singer of the band Lone Hill Estate. He's made some incredible music with Graham Watkins, Luis Obala as part of Swing City. And more recently, he released a solo album called African Grey. His name is Nathan Rowe. How are you, Nathan Rowe?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you doing, dude? It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in person for years.
Hello.
Can you hear us? Nathan, can you hear us? Hello. You can't hear us. Okay. Simpiwe, can you maybe take a look and try and sort that out? Can you hear us now? No. Okay. While he's trying to, we'll try and get that sorted out. So what Nathan wanted to talk to you about, and I think maybe this is also where we pick up on what Lebang brought up last week, Doc, is the idea that there are so many people who are on the edge. There are so many people who are really feeling life is tough and it's hard and it's difficult. And Nathan is going to tell us the story in a moment, but he's lost three friends to suicide this year, which is huge. And we can talk about what you can do in a situation like that where you know one of your friends might be. But what I also want to talk about with you this morning is what the underlying problem here is, because a lot of this has to do with purposelessness, okay? And you've brought this up on the show before, but I see lots of young, talented people who don't know what their purpose is, and that, you know, you've said to us before, if you don't have that, then everything else slides into the background. And if you wake up in the morning with nothing to drive you, no reason to be, no place in the world, no contribution that you can make. Ultimately, that just wears people down. And before you know it, they're in big, big trouble, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Gareth. I think you hit the nail on the head with that term. The opposite of depression is not happiness. It's purposeless. It's having no sense of purpose. And, you know, they did this research. They found that there are five places around the world where people grow to be the happiest and oldest. And they call those places blue zones. You can research it. It's quite fascinating. And the common denominators in those places were diet. People eat organically and eat well. Exercise. People are physically active. Three, social connections. And in those, and number four, in those communities, people never retire. There's always a sense of purpose. At 103 years old, you wake up and you've got something to do, something to chase, something to create. It's a non-negotiable. It's a psychological nutrient that we cannot. So people say, well, what if I don't have it? Well, the end result of that is depression. It's not depression that causes purposeless. It's actually the lack of purpose that causes
depression. Right.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you the mechanism that works with it, because or how that works is because when you have a sense of purpose, another word for a sense of purpose is chase something that resonates with your spirit. Chase that carrot. And when you are chasing externally, what something magical happens. You can't interpret internally. When you're chasing externally, you can't go into your head. And if you ask anybody that's depressed, anybody that's anxious, anybody that's insecure, they will tell you they're in their head. They're always thinking, they're overthinking. They get into analysis paralysis. What about me? What is my meaning in life? Where am I going? It's all internal. So as you are chasing externally, you can't go internal. And I say to people that are depressed, think about the last time or a time in your life when you weren't, when you were feeling that sense of purpose, feeling happy.
Mm.
And every time, it's when they were doing things and chasing things externally outside of them. They were playing with their kids. They were doing a really great job. They were playing soccer. They were doing whatever, but they were doing things externally. Don't go in, there's no need to go internal. And, you know, we raised this before, actually last week, about the mental health warriors. And the a common thing which is wrong is go internal. Interpret what you're feeling. Interpret what you're thinking. There's no need for that. There's no need to go internal. It has no value. Go external and chase your purpose.
Yeah, and I mean, this is part of the problem too, is that we're getting the opposite advice from people. And, you know, it's in social media and everything else. People are like, no, you've got to figure yourself out. Actually,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually, people are spending too much time figuring themselves out.
Absolutely.
It's navel gazing, right? Right?
Absolutely. But figure what out? People say, figure yourself out. And figure what out? What are you figuring out?
Sit there. And first of all, I mean, a lot of people think that the solution is to sit there and unpack their brain and then repack it and try to organize their thoughts. And then they do. They spend all this time being hugely self-indulgent and not fixing anything because that's not the tool that you should be using. You've just said what you need to do is externalize, actually find things to do, be a part of the world rather than being in your head the whole time. And then there are people who take drugs because they think if we take drugs, whether it's antidepressants or whether it's, magic mushrooms or it's cocaine or whatever the hell it is people are doing, or they drink, they think that'll give them some kind of like aha moment. That's not how it works. That's not how the brain works, right?
So purpose is not, and a lot of your problems are not in an intellectual pursuit of figuring out a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And most of your problems, if not all of them, are actually an experiential pursuit of figuring out your problem.
Okay.
They're not intellectual, they're experiential. So I'll give you an analogy. If somebody comes to me and says to me, Hanan, how do I know whether I like to play tennis? How do I know whether tennis is my thing? Well, I could pull out a whiteboard and draw up a pros and cons column. And if there are more pros, then you obviously love it. And there are more cons, then you obviously hate it. Well, that would be a ridiculous way to try to figure out whether you like to play the game of tennis. What I would say to you would be go out and hit balls for 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes, you would know exactly whether the game resonates with your spirit or not. So most of life is not about let me figure out the pros and cons, because what has more pros, you might absolutely hate. And what has more cons, you might absolutely love. Go out and experience it. And another thing that I just want to raise is, you said a lot of young people have no idea what their sense of purpose is. And the truth is, guys, it's most people don't have an idea of what resonates with their spirit. Depression amongst the not so young, they're in the 30s or 40s or 50s, it's awful. It's awful. The lack of purpose, because I'm doing things because I have to, as opposed to because I want to, or because it resonates with who I am, is staggering. That's a real pandemic. The lack of purpose.
So,
and that's been in existence forever.
I'm going to bring Nathan in. I think we got a connection here. How's it, dude? How are you?
Hey, man. Sorry about that.
No. No worries.
There's new world always, of work.
Yeah, there's always technical stuff, but it's nice to see you. Nathan Rowe, of course, a member of the Cliff Central family and somebody who we've checked in with all the way through the last couple of years and music, and just you're a very, very talented human being. But you've brought a very particular problem here to Dr. Hanan this morning, and it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to. So, Nathan, I'm going to let you ask your questions to Dr. Hanan, and let's all just benefit from the analysis and the wisdom that he gives us after that. Go for it.
Cool. Well, the thing started with I recently lost another friend to suicide. It's been the third one this year. I've lost about 10 in total since high school, and I think 3 in 1 year was just so much for me, and it was like there's got to be something wrong. There's got to be something wrong systemically, you know? I mean, we often hear about systemic racism, but we don't hear about systemic causes for depression, you know? And I was wondering, I'm trying to get to the root cause of what is causing this more than anything. And I asked a lot of people who suffer with depression, what they found is their root cause of these things. And not a lot of people could actually answer me. They would often say, oh, my anxiety causes my depression. But what causes your anxiety? You know, there's always going to be something. And I know it's different for everyone. It's a very broad, you know, a broad options of causes. But yeah, so I really wanted to know what systemically maybe we could change, like in society, what we could do differently that could help people. I mean, a lot of people brought up the fact that there's no one talking about it. People were applauding me for bringing up the topic. And I was like, guys, it's not even, I mean, I don't know anyone who would tell a depressed person, oh, no, you'll be fine. Just, you know, stiff up a lip. I don't know. I feel that's a, you know, back in the day, I feel like we've changed quite a bit since then, but apparently people are still coming up against that. And then, sorry, just another add-on question, maybe if you could get to, is also just the cost of counseling and psychological treatment, mental wellness treatment. I sort of understand why psychiatrists cost money because they're dishing up drugs, but psychologists sort of have the same price bracket, and I don't know if they carry the same risks. Maybe they do. Maybe dealing with people with depression is a high risk thing. I know gynecologists and anesthetists charge a lot of money because of the insurance costs that drive them up through the roof. So I'd be interested to just hear why psychologists charge as much as they do. Thanks.
All right. Hey, Nathan. How's it, man? So first of all, sorry about your losses. It's horrible. And there's two kind of sides to the two pairs of victim. Obviously, the family and the people that that are surrounding the people that have committed suicide, and obviously the people that are suffering with it, with intense depression. And you raised the link between anxiety and depression, and they're very heavily linked. And before you got on the show, we were just talking, we were saying that the opposite of depression is not happiness. The opposite of depression is a lack of purpose. And what ends up happening is a lot of people that have depression, they feel stuck and they go internal. So they start analyzing the meaning of their lives. And they, once you feel stuck and lose hope, it's very difficult to kind of keep on pushing your body further and start trying or continue trying. So what happens with anxiety is, obviously, the causes could be many things. It could be a marriage thing. It could be a work thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be not living my passion thing. It could be a kid's thing. It could be many, many, many different things. And once a person tries to overcome anxiety, and they're just not able to, and they try it again, and they're not able to, and they try it again, and they're not able to, or what ends up happening is they start feeling stuck. And that's when the body starts to shut down and show symptoms of depression. Depression and stuckness is synonymous. So you'll ask your friends or people that you know that have depression, is then they'll tell you, one, their lack of sense of purpose, and two, they'll tell you that they feel stuck. They don't see a way out. They're losing hope. So what we can do as a society is start creating not just a sense of purpose or giving people something to chase externally that resonates with who they are, but giving people hope. That's the first thing. And there are many things that a person with depression, that they can do. There are many things that us and the community and people surrounding them that can help them with. But to your second point, psychologists are incredibly expensive. There's no question. There are many free resources out there for people that are suffering with mental health disorders. South African Depression Anxiety Group is one of them. There are many within your community. There are many people that you can reach out to, even within religious organizations. There are many, many organizations and people and communities that you can reach out to that will give you good, solid advice and good solid support. And support is incredibly important during a time when you're feeling really low, because one thing that, even if you take the pandemic, that has helped us a lot is that we were not doing things alone. We were doing things within a community. But remember, mental health, going back to your question, why is psychology expensive? It's a very specialized field. You know, I was watching, and I mentioned this on the show last week, there's a lot of people going online and giving so-called free advice because they've been through depression or anxiety, but it's actually the wrong advice. because you have to understand the structures and the mechanism that causes depression and anxiety and any mental health disorders in order to be able to treat it appropriately and effectively. And if you don't get the right advice, well, you're going to, it's like going to the wrong mechanic, as an example, going to your mate to that knows a little bit about cars to try and fix a really complex and robust issue with your engine. Well, you can imagine what might happen. And the difference between an engine and a person is you can mess up with an engine and then you can go to somebody else that will fix it. But with human nature, you can cause enough damage that fixing it or resolving the issue is becomes a little bit more complex and sometimes very difficult later on. So if anything, to your point, if you are suffering with a mental health condition, whatever it might be, don't just lean on anybody for advice. Lean on people that understand and know the mechanism that started it all, the causes, and the appropriate treatment. Start with your GP, your psychiatrist, your psychologist, your mental health professional, your nurse, your religious community, your community. Free helplines are wonderful, but reach out to somebody that understands it and certainly can give you the appropriate advice moving forward.
Yeah, that's really useful stuff, because everybody these days claims, and this is something you brought up last week, Doc, that everybody claims to, you know, have some idea of how to deal with this stuff, but you've got to pay for the professionals. And I'm sad that we live in a country where social workers, for example, they're just too few of them, and they just can't cover all the bases. We've just got too many people who need them. You get to psychologists and psychiatrists, and I mean, Nathan's right, and this is something we haven't ever brought up on this segment of the show before, is the cost of this stuff. You know, like anything, you need help, you've got to pay for it. It's just a really, really sad situation. Is there anything that you would advise? I mean, we've spoken to the people from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, before, and they're terrific. You know, if you suspect that someone you know is going through what Nathan said some of his friends have, you can call them up and they can help. You know, they've got some very, very good trained counselors there who do a terrific job. And we've spoken to them a lot on the show. But Nathan, are you okay, dude? Because to lose three people in the space of in this short space of time, that's horrendous. I mean, that must take its toll on you in a big way. Nathan? Can you hear me? You're going to get major internet problems with him this morning. Yeah, I mean, any advice for how people can help, you know, help themselves kind of through this situation without having to go and see someone professional, just as the friend, as the person that is still alive when so many of your friends have done this? What do you say?
Yeah, it's awful. It's absolutely, yeah, surround yourself with people that you can resonate with, people that understand, so you don't have to walk alone. Doing things with other people in the same boat is very, very important. And surround yourself with that kind of support and go get advice. The truth is, this is your trauma. Mm. To lose somebody is incredibly traumatic. You go through your own stages of grief and phases of grief, and you got to learn how to process your emotions. It's not a joke having lost someone.
No.
It's terrible. And especially when it's unexpected to suicide, it's awful. So surround yourself with the right people and get the right advice. You can work through your own loss.
I'm very sorry that Nathan is obviously having internet issues at home at the moment too. A lot of people are bringing up social media as part of the reason that so many people go down the hole here. And I think that's something we've got to talk about in a future episode. But thanks so much, Dr. Hanan. Sure. We will check
in with you
in a week's time, and have a good week. I hope it's going to be very
successful. Thank you, guys. You too.
And filled with purpose. Bye-bye. There we go. A week full of purpose. That's what we're heading into.
CliffCentral.com.